Beautiful choir, perfect anthem for this season. Friends, I know there is not as much decoration and perhaps a little bit less contemplation. There's no special clothes to wear and not as much fanfare, but we are beginning a special season in the annual church life this morning, nestled between summer and Advent toward the end of ordinary time. Can anyone tell me what season we begin this morning?
Stewardship
season. Was that the pastor's wife?
No,
it wasn't. Was it the choir director's wife? Beautiful. Yeah, stewardship season. I joke every single year that someone, one of you at least, is offended by calling this a season. Stewardship from members of any congregation, the giving of our time and our talents and our money to the church, is year-round. It's not seasonal. I imagine that at least one of you gets increasingly upset as you read our newsletter articles or visit the website and see the word season behind one of the most important spiritual disciplines we undertake as church members, right up there with prayer and Bible study. Is that person present here this morning the one that gets so upset? No? Must be someone else who couldn't make it to worship then this morning. In any case, indulge me. Indulge us once again as October slips into November and our annual stewardship conversation for the upcoming year, 2017, gets its own season again. Pray with me. Lord God, we do pause to pray in this moment that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, friends, to begin stewardship season this year, I want you to forget. We began this way several years ago. You may remember that. And if you do, then forget that too. A little selective amnesia. Remember that. Forget. Okay? Remember to forget. Oh, forget it. No, seriously, forget it. And with a cleared mind, listen for the word of God from the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself so that they might declare my praise. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. This year, this season, I want us to embrace this prophetic amnesia as we formally engage our season of stewardship for this church, raising our commitments of time and talents and money. We're not going to forget about stewardship. Nice try. But we will forget the stewardship seasons of our recent past. You see, 2015's operating budget was set almost $6,000 less than 2014's budget, and 2016 was under $5,000 less than 2015's. We've been on a downward trajectory these past 3 years, and I want us to begin this year by forgetting that. In our scripture passage, there's a form of divine amnesia going on. Now, in and of itself, this is a very unusual thing. You see, God usually, through the prophets, encourages us to remember, right? Remember the one who brings you out of captivity, who is with you and provides for you in your wandering, who leads you at last to the land of milk and honey. I mean, every time in our scripture that Israel forgets, terrible things happen. Every time we forget, we become lost again. But there it is in Isaiah 43, do not remember. You see, no matter how much we want to live in the past, allowing what we have done or left undone to define us, God, whoever, however, wherever God is living and working in the present and in the future. Forgiveness and grace mean nothing if we allow what has been to define what will be. God will remember our sins, our past transgressions, our former shortfalls, no more. Forgiven and forgotten. There is only now and what may be for our God. We too then must remember our separateness, our lack of engagement, our shortfalls, no more. So we will practice a form of amnesia in the weeks ahead. It's an interesting state of mind, amnesia, divine or mortal. We're rightfully afraid of losing our memories as a whole, but in these weeks we're engaging in a more attractive practice of selective forgetfulness. We all do it. We all yearn for it on some level, in some form or another. Partial amnesia. A child yearns for parental amnesia. Mom and dad might just forget that early bedtime they set, or that evening hour when all electronic devices must be docked for the night, or the crumpled front fender of the family car. Trying not to look down at these front rows. No, Sam's never done that yet. But parental amnesia would be convenient at times. Some of us desire spousal amnesia. Anytime you want to, you can forget the day I left the oven on and then left the house, or forgot to put away the leftovers that were part of the next three nights' meals, or the day I forgot to pick up our daughter from school. Sorry, I think those are my own scars. Many of us have wished for bossal amnesia. I think I made this one up. We should not have been party to the water cooler gossip on Thursday morning that our boss overheard, or expressed our feelings so clearly and so loudly about management. I know there's at least one person who still prays for pastoral amnesia. Dear God, may Pastor Joel forget the day when he walked into the hospital room and I was cursing a less than competent member of the hospital staff. He's not here this morning either, so. I have some hopes for congregational amnesia. I'm hoping you all forgot the horrible hymn selection that I chose for the first Sunday of Advent in 2010. Does anyone still remember that? Matt? Good. Selective amnesia, we can all hope. But for better or worse, we're basically biochemical memory, you and I. We're pretty literally wired to remember things. That's why it's so scary to lose our memory. Why dementia and Alzheimer's is so cruel. But a bit of selective memory loss, parental, spousal, bossal, pastoral, congregational amnesia, comforts us on some pretty self-serving levels. And I go through all of that again because I want us to practice a bit of that stewardship amnesia this month. Let us not remember the former stewardship seasons or consider the stewardship seasons of old. Let us do a new thing. Our God is doing such in our scripture passage this morning. We've heard this passage, and particularly verse 19, so many times in our lives. It's a favorite for all kinds of reasons. But as I read and explored this, something a little different popped up to me for this morning's message. It has to do with the bodies of water mentioned in these verses. In our day and age, it's pretty easy to forget the power that bodies of water had in the ancient world. Bodies of water served not only as a conveyor of life, but as a much more daunting barrier to life. Wide seas and raging rivers. To proclaim that there is a reality in their lives that makes a pathway through the most formidable barriers they face is a profound statement of faith. We don't think much about that as we read of God making a way in the sea or a path in the mighty waters. I mean, we have airplanes and bridges for that now. So our question, as we always seek to bring these ancient scriptures to bear on our lives today, is this: what are the barriers that stand in the way of this congregation? The path God provides, known most fully in the way of Jesus, a life of love that is always calling us to worlds larger than our own, is always doing a new thing and is always hoping against hope that we will perceive it. What stands between us and this new thing? The prophet poet Isaiah is asking us to experience the reversal that God is constantly introducing into our lives. But his allegation is that those who should be listening and responding are not. Do you not perceive it? Do we not? And why not? What barriers, what seas and mighty rivers stand between us and our future? I've been wondering in this anniversary year how the past 10 generations or so have done that in this church, this community, this congregation, gotten beyond the barriers between them and the future of this church. I've been wondering how those who came before us have responded to one of the greatest barriers any congregation ever faces, that phrase, "We've never done it that way before," sometimes called the 7 last words of the church. Only 1 year after a war that was civil in name only, a small group of men and women came together to perceive something new, a congregation in its Presbyterian form in South Oldham County. Through the turn of the century, the invention of the automobile, 2 world wars that sandwiched a Great Depression, the telephone, the television, a civil rights movement, denominational mergers, economic booms, recessions, computer and internet connections that paradoxically separate us further into categories and parties that more deeply divide us, this congregation has perceived something new at every turn. Not without turmoil, not without confusion, not without some division. Our own generation can attest to that. But for 150 years, somehow and in some way, we have finally been able to forget the barriers created by our own human schemes and failings to perceive the way in the wilderness and the life-giving river in the desert. Now, as always, I shy away from making moments such as this too dramatic, but I don't want to make them too mundane either. In this anniversary celebration year with memories and visions and promises, we must try to perceive why we are here now in this place and what we must do to ensure that the next generations will be open to perceiving what God continues to do in and through this congregation. So as we begin this year, we ask, what are the barriers that stand in the way of our congregations following God's lead toward the future? What are the memories we must forget? What will keep us from pledging more? More of your time. More of your talents. More of your money to the mission and the ministry of this congregation. I wonder, is our larger denomination a barrier for you? The PCUSA is the leader in religious communities, indeed in any community in this country and around the world, in breaking down the barriers to equality in all of their expressions, racial, LGBTQ, socioeconomic, religious, and more. You must know, as we begin another stewardship season, that I embrace all of this denomination's efforts to break down any attempt to limit the radically inclusive love of God that is for each and every human being. But I know that that is not a universally shared conviction for all who gather. The PCUSA is too liberal or too socially involved. Is our denomination a barrier to your giving? Or can it be a river in the desert that so quickly dries out? Hope. What about this congregation itself? Is it a barrier to you? After all, we're small in number, at least compared to Southeast or Northeast, or choose your Christian community larger than this one. We're limited in our mission. For financial or motivational reasons, you decide. Honestly, what good does it do to give to this congregation time, talents, and especially money? Friends, you must know as we begin another stewardship season that I believe with all my heart in this small community and in our potential to impact the world around us through our very simple presence in and our openness to the village, the community, the counties around us that are oh so easily lured into self-centered pursuits and individual comfort and family-only concerns. But I know that this conviction is not universally shared by all who gather here. We're too small to make a difference. Is our own congregation a barrier to your giving, or can it be a path in mighty waters that seek to drown us in complacency? How about the general sense that any congregation, any religious community at all, Presbyterian ones included, are increasingly irrelevant and superfluous to real life? I rarely get through a day without reading or remembering that the nuns are the fastest growing group in almost any poll or questionnaire, those who check nun in front of religious affiliation questions. You must know as we begin another stewardship season that I give my heart to a reality in this world and beyond it that is not tangibly identified, but is powerfully experienced and positively engaged in all that is good for creation. I most commonly call that reality God. I find that God reality most fully revealed in the life and the love of Jesus, and I believe that life, that life, can most effectively be set loose on the world through communities of faith, large and small, who minister in Christ's name. Is religion as a whole a barrier to your giving? It's all just supernatural hocus pocus. Or might it be a way in the sea of meaninglessness that surrounds us? I'm not naive. The Presbyterian Church USA is not perfect. Pee-wee Valley Presbyterian Church is not unflawed, and religion as an institution has a poor track record throughout history. But it is through this institution, through this denomination, and through this congregation that we have traction in history. It is through this community that new things have been perceived and have come forth for 150 years. And it is through this community that we are called again to forget the former things and the things of old in service to a future of hope and promise that extends way far beyond our own lives. So let us look at the year ahead of us. Continue to pray, or begin praying, about how you will provide for this church in the year ahead and for the future ahead. Your time, your talents, your money, through your pledge for 2017 and the next 150 years. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, I am about to do a new thing. Do you perceive it? May we perceive it. Amen.